Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it.
Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name is Chris Lambert.
My name is Travis Bean, and today we're going to do some stepping, right, Chris?
Oh, yeah. This is what I call my Ohio step.
I actually just watched Stomp the Yard for the first time.
Really? That seems like a movie that you would have watched dozens of times by now.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how it escaped me. You know, I've seen all the step-ups a dozen times at least each, so I don't know what took me so long. And there's a Stomp the Yard 2 with the same actor, so I got to get in there.
Nice. Was it cool? Was it awesome?
Yeah, it's great.
I remember a lot of hype when that movie came out.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck I was doing, but apparently I was being a zit-faced little snot-nosed teenager and not getting to the theater to see it.
At least you made up for it now.
I don't even know if I was a teenager when they came out, actually.
I think so. I think we were in high school.
Yeah, around 2006, probably when it came out. But I won't talk too much more about Stomp the Yard because I know we got to get to this song.
Yeah, and this song, School Spirit, is one that for years on the podcast, we talked about this being our least favorite song on Kanye's discography.
Yeah, even way back in the day when we were ranking songs, we created a separate list just for Soul Spirit because we thought it was so bad.
Yeah, and a lot of that came from the fact that when you look at the song content wise, like the song in and of itself was always cool, was always enjoyable, but we care so much about how the song relates to the album and how the songs, you know, communicate with each other on an album, that School Spirit felt like the first track on College Dropout that was repeating a lot of what Kanye had talked about on other songs. So right. We're just kind of like, okay, this is repeating a lot of stuff, like, meh, not his best.
Repeating and like not expanding, you know, like it's not adding any layers or nuance to anything, you know, it's just, it felt very static and immature and Neanderthalish and just like, this is what it is, and like Kanye's acting like a maniac. Like this and Breathe and Breathe Out were like kind of like a 1-2 punch of like, is Kanye just fucking joking at this point?
Yeah, and you compare it to how he has similar ego on Last Call or We Don't Care, or how he addresses how he's going to succeed and achieve on Jesus Walks or Never Let Me Down. And those all feel like they're doing more than what's going on in School Spirit, which came off as much more superficial.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because at this point in the album's narrative, you really want Kanye go to, you know, the next level, to this new place that kind of goes to the last four songs of the album. And you really want Kanye at this part of the album to feel empowered and ready to make the kind of music that inspires people, right?
Yeah, and I think we kind of missed how this played into that the first time.
Totally.
But going through the album, how we've gone through it this time, and getting an understanding of the narrative in far greater detail than what we did the first time, where before we were like, there is no narrative. School Spirit really does capture more of what we hoped it would or wanted to see. And that's very exciting.
Yeah. How much it captures it, we'll see, I guess. But before we get there, do we want to go through the narrative?
Yeah, let's do that. So we see College Dropout broken up into a couple chapters leading up to School Spirit. in the first part on We Don't Care, All Falls Down, Spaceship, and Jesus Walks, we see Kanye describing society. We Don't Care, he's talking about the people that he sees on his day-to-day and the living situation they have. If this is your first time hearing this, you are about to experience something so cold, man. We never had nothing handed, took nothing for granted, took nothing from no man. Man, I'm my own man. But as a shorty, All Falls Down is a similar kind of thing. One just paints what lifestyle they're living. The other explores why they're living that lifestyle, with All Falls Down really pointing to consumerism being a burden and this thing that people use to make them feel better when they don't have anything else. Now, tell me that ain't insecure. The concept of school seems so secure. Sophomore 3 years, ain't picked a career. She like, fuck it, I'll just stay down her and do it. Cause that's enough money to buy her a few pairs of new ears. Cause a baby daddy don't really care. She's so precious with the peer pressure. Couldn't afford a car, so she named her daughter Alexis. Yeah, it's so long. They're made to feel more mentally enslaved by how society's set up, and you're told, like, you should get this necklace, you should get this thing, like, you're gonna name your daughter Alexis because you can't afford a car. Like, and their self-esteem is tied to whether or not they own or don't own, which is really sad. So we see this directionality enter into the picture with All Falls Down and this downward energy, contrasted then by I'll Fly Away and this upward energy that's tied to religion and success and building yourself up and taking yourself out of the scenario that keeps you in this negative place, which is then what we see happen on Spaceship. Fly away. I've been working this crazy shift and I hate shit. I wish I could buy me a spaceship. We get this kind of marriage of the religious elements of I'll Fly Away with the career success and financial freedom that brings, that Spaceship kind of builds up as this hope and dream. That's followed up then by Jesus Walks, which really puts that directionality that we saw in All Falls Down and then on Spaceship into competition with each other. We have Jesus embodying the upward momentum and the devil trying to bring you down and representing that downward momentum. God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down. The only thing that I pray is that my feet don't fail me now. And that song really becomes Kanye having this moment of confrontation for his soul and what kind of person he's going to be, and finding that, you know, he has faith, he has God, and he has the motivation to do what he has to do, which leads into Never Let Me Down. Like, hopefully once you achieve this energy and you know that God's supporting you, you're never going to be let down and you can go and achieve your dream. And that's when we enter into the second part of what's going on the album, where Kanye now firmly getting out of the situation he was in and stepping into the music industry is kind of then at the mercy of the music industry. We see that there's a focus shift away from the directionality of things and more on how people respond to Kanye's music and how he's operating as a musician. And you see that with some of the meta elements that enter into Get Him High, with him saying he's trying to find the flow. I'm trying to catch the beat. I'm trying to catch the beat. Now, throw your motherfucking hand. Get him high. And you go from there to the new workout plan, which really ties back into All Falls Down. It's Kanye now as an artist promising his listeners all of these things in the very superficial way that we saw in All Falls Down that people think that they want, that's going to bring them joy and fulfillment And now he's the guy that's peddling that, even though we know he knows better.
Thanks to Kanye's workout plan. I'm the envy of all my friends. See how full me of all of it. And I ain't gotta work at the mall again.
Let me break you off with a piece of... Which makes new workout plan very hollow. But that's what he's trying to do as a musician that's trying to get a following. And then slow jams is him then saying, okay, okay, you want slow jams? Let me give you slow jams. But then it turns out that they don't just want slow jams, they also want fast jams.
What Twisted you jams.
Do? Twisted jams. And then we get Breathe In, Breathe Out, where he's finally just like making this bullshit ice rap and literally calls out the fact that this is dumb on the song.
More of that bullshit ice rap. I gotta apologize to most of Quali. Is it cool to rap about gold if I told the world I copped it from Ghana and Mali? First nigga with a Benz and a backpack. Ice chain, Cardi lens and a knapsack. Always said if I rapped, I'd say something significant. But now I'm rapping about money, hoes, and rims again. And it's still about the bench.
Which is kind of key heading into the final part of the album, where if he's recognizing that he's making dumb, unfulfilling music, it's time to make smarter, fulfilling music. Make music that actually gets people going and speaks to people and makes a difference.
And that's exactly, if you're tracking that narrative and you know how narrative develops and story structure in general, that's the thing that you would then expect at this point. With that Mona self-awareness, you would then expect the change of behavior. And School Spirit then seems to tie into that change of behavior as Kanye's legitimately reconnecting with a spirit or summoning a spirit that he maybe feels that he had lost.
Yeah. But before we get to that spirit, we have some skits.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least one skit.
Yeah. School Spirit skit one.
Now beat that. And your mother's saying go to college, so you finish college and it's wonderful. You feel so good. And after all the partying and crazing, and don't forget about that drug habit you picked up at school, being around your peers, hey, now you'll get that $25,000 job a year, and you'll spend all your money on crack cocaine. But it'll be your money. No more borrowing from mom for my high. So now you get your degree tattooed on your back. You're so excited about it. If you continue to work at The Gap, after several interviews, oh my God, you'll come in at an entry-level position. And when you do that, if you kiss enough ass, you'll move up to the next level, which is being the secretary's secretary. And boy, is that great. You get to take messages for the secretary who never went to college. She's actually the boss's niece, so now you're part of the family. You know what college does for you? Makes you really smart, man. All you kids want to talk in the back of the class, not me. I listened, okay? I was a hall monitor. This was meant to be. You know how many classes I took? Extra classes. No, I've never had sex, but you know what? My degree keeps me satisfied. When a lady walks with me and says, hey, you know what's sexy? I say, no, I don't know what it is, but I bet I can add up all the change in your purse very fast.
School Spirit, up for them.
Deray Davis makes his return. You may recognize him from the intro as not Bernie Mac.
Was wondering, could you do a little song, something beautiful? Something that the kids are gonna love when they hit. It's gonna make them start.
Now, beat that. It seems to be almost like this voice coming in after Kanye had rapped Breathe In, Breathe Out. And it's almost like the attitude of someone being like, yeah, beat that. See, that was awesome music.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of confusing. You almost wonder if it just means, ooh, I got another degree. Now, beat that. Like, you think you're so great? Like, I'm going to school and getting degrees and being fulfilled in that way.
Yeah, it depends how you want to read, like, as completely disconnected from that and contained within this song and this ego of the person that's gone to college, or is it representative of this person that feels good about that song that we just heard and that music that we've been hearing? And this is kind of Kanye viewing himself as having been this kind of person that's been more on the path or did the college thing, and I put that in quotes, and by that it's following what the music industry wanted from him. So the same way that he actually dropped out of college, he's going to drop out of doing what the music industry wants you to do.
Yeah, could be. And remember, too, it's DeRay Davis coming back into the album, and he played the Bernie Mac role, who would expect all of his students, including Kanye, to go. You know, he was going to help Kanye get to a good college with white people. This is probably just continuing that mentality.
Yeah, he definitely is representative of something in that way.
Yeah.
And of course, DeRay Davis is a comedian, if that wasn't obvious. So when he's doing this, he's really taking the piss out of the typical trajectory of you go to college, you get a good job, you work hard for years, you get married and settle down, and like, that's your life. That's what you need to do. If you're not doing that, you're fucking up. Stop being a fuck up. But he takes these moments to really insult that path. Like, you know, you go to college and it's wonderful. There's all this partying craziness and the drug habit you picked up because your peers are all fucking wild. Like you think you go to college to meet good people, but you're meeting like a bunch of degenerates that just want to party and like fuck around. If you continue to work at the Gap after several interviews, oh my God. I feel like in some ways this almost describes what we just saw Kanye go through with.
Oh yeah.
Get 'em high and workout plan and slow jams and breathe in, breathe out. He was doing all the things you're supposed to as a new artist that's trying to get people to listen to you. You get the guest features, you rap about the superficial stuff that like makes people, that what people like crave and are addicted to. Like you make the kind of music they want to dance to. And then eventually you just make like bullshit ice rap.
Yeah, I think that's really key, actually. It's something Kanye has always done, you know. It never, whatever he's rapping about, it's about something different. So when he talks about education and the school system and having to go through all these steps and go to a college and get an entry-level job, like, he's never talking about school, and he's never even talking just about being a musician then in the hip-hop world. He's talking about everybody and this pressure you always feel to live your life a certain way of, or to follow a certain path. So the trajectory is kind of using, like the metaphors he's using, they're all just meant to inspire you to go live your life your own way. You know, that's what his music's always doing, I think.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons why so many people connect to, relate to, and love College Dropout. Because especially at this point, what Kanye was going through is what everybody else, or so many, like go through on a day-to-day basis, whether it's school or not school. Mm-hmm. It can be the fact that you didn't go to school and what you're putting up with, or just trying to achieve your dream. Where when you get to Yeezus, maybe not so relatable specifically, but emotionally still relatable.
I think that really does get at why so many people respond to new or to early Kanye a lot more, because, you know, his first three albums, he really had the school runner throughout. Like each of the titles of his albums has to do with the school system. And it's very specific in that way about what are you graduating into? Like to have that school element tied to it makes it easy to understand. But I think he's still continued to do that. I think Ye is about learning. Ye and Kitsy Ghost is all about learning to control your environment. And you could easily apply a school metaphor to those entire albums.
Yeah. Very much. Like you get to school and you kind of go through the emotions of, yeah, it's overwhelming at times. You fall into behaviors and habits that you may not have otherwise had at any other point, just because of the situation and the setting and the simulation that you find yourself in. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, like how you start college is chaotic, and how you end college can be more organized and ordered as you've made your way through that chaos and kind of come out of it this like, ah, oh, I'm a complete person. And then you enter back into the world and you break all the way down again.
Yeah. And then you have a daughter and you're like, oh, fuck, I got to be better.
Yeah, I have to be better. But that cycle repeats throughout your life so many times. Like,
yeah,
going into high school is very similar to going into college, is very similar to going into the work, like adult work life,
yeah,
which is very similar to then like getting married to having a kid. There's all this repetition of going from feeling like you know what you're doing to not and having to learn to do that again.
Yeah.
Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knete ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Barra ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 Gigabyte für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee, das wäre auch schön blöd.
Lebara,
deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
And School Spirit has one sample. And it's an Aretha Franklin song.
In the spirit, in the dark, I'm getting the spirit, in the dark, people moving, oh, in the groove.
Which, famously, I think a lot of people know the story, but some don't. She told Kanye that she would clear the sample as long as he didn't swear on the song. So there's no unedited version on an album of School Spirit. There are unedited versions that exist that you can like find and download, but none of the albums that were released had an unedited version.
That's unfortunate.
Right, because swearing always makes things fucking better.
Especially when it's Kanye. It just feels natural.
So Spirit in the Dark, I mean, we talk all the time about how there's an art to how Kanye samples, that it's not just him saying, oh, this song sounds good, I'm going to use that. But that he pays attention to the lyrics and the themes of the song that he's using and uses them for that reason.
Yeah, and you know this sample is important here. Because Aretha Franklin's like, you have to make your song this way, and if you don't, you can't use it. And Kanye like, it's like, okay, fine. Like, as long as I can use the sample, like, it's crucial to my song's construction. Okay.
So with Spirit in the Dark, you know, you have the title of this song being School Spirit, then a sample of a song that involves spirit. But Spirit in the Dark feels very fitting, because if you look at the music that Kanye had been making, you would assume maybe that as an artist, he's in a darker place and maybe getting a bit frustrated with how things are supposed to go or the system that he's in, which we hear him specifically talk about on Last Call when he describes his journey to releasing The College Dropout and how frustrating it had been. And he was in this dark place trying to find his way. So Spirit in the Dark starts with the first verse. So there's this idea of this rising tide of a sensation and the spirit that's going to move you and cause you to dance. And we had just seen the previous four songs be so focused on how people respond to your music, and that Kanye had maybe been in those songs lacking the necessary spirits. And he sees with this Aretha sample that when you find the spirits, the people really start moving and dancing. The relevant thing there would just be the fact that you need to move with the spirits. And this notion ties back nicely to Never Let Me Down, and how in that song you have Jay Ivey straight up saying, like, when I create music, when I write, my pen is moved by God. Like, I am just a vessel for his words. And that plays so much into what Kanye hopes to do with his music. He wants to be a vessel. He wants the spirit to flow through him. We just saw that on Jesus Walks as well, that he felt like God was with him. But then you go to the hollow music he was making. It makes sense then that he would be trying to find the spirit again that we saw in Never Let Me Down and the spirit of Jesus Walks, and bring that into his professional career that he hadn't had yet.
Yeah, I think that really highlights something important I don't think we've talked a ton about, it's just the religious through line on the album and how it is so present, like you're saying, early on in the album, and really disappears in the middle part where Kanye feels lost and he isn't really channeling that spirit. I mean, it reminds me of Kanye's doing today with his Sunday services and how he talks about God and his connection with God on Ye and Kids See Ghost. You know, when he talks about religion, it isn't something divine. You know, when Jay Ivy is rapping, when, you know, God is writing out Jay Ivy's verse for him and he thinks God is speaking through him, like, there's something more to that than just like everyone should believe in God. Like, it is, it's tapping into something that inspires you. Like, it's finding that element of yourself, finding something that brings out that element of yourself that creates change, you know? And I think that's what's happening here with sampling Aretha Franklin, the song being called School Spirit. Like, it's Kanye almost twisting the idea of what it even means to go to school. Like, this is my school. This is my school spirit. Like, this is how I channel everything they told me I needed to go to school for. Like, I'll do it my own way.
And that's such a huge part of it, right? Like, this outsider mentality. I don't need what you're telling me I need. I got everything I need myself, and I'm going to blaze my own path. And this is his school spirit. It's just how he's using it is different than how everybody else uses it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, and that sense of religion building you up and that spirit in the godly sense helping you achieve, we know that I am a god. Kanye's talked about, like, I am a god. Like, I said it. Like, I have this divinity within me. GLC recently did an interview with Van Lathan on the Red Pill podcast where he was talking very specifically about the divinity within all of us and the fact that when we create, when we do this, we have this divine power, that we're all God and all gods. And you can see very much where, like, Kanye would have gotten that attitude from. And I think Malik Youssef has talked about it as well. It seems something within that circle. It's a very powerful notion and concept of this connection between art and your own divinity and the relationship with God that all works together. And seeing that drop out of the album entirely in the middle portion could just be, oh, you know, random. That's just how the album was structured. But it fits too perfectly with what you'd expect from narrative structure for it to just be this random thing.
Yeah, totally.
So with that in mind, we go into School Spirit.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, that would be the unedited intro.
I'll probably be playing the edited intro, so.
Fine, be that way, Travis.
I honor Aretha Franklin's request.
I bet you were a hall monitor.
Alpha step, omega step, kappa step, sigma step, gangsters walk, pimps gon' talk, ooh, hecky no, that boy is raw, aka step, delta step, S-G-O step, zeta step, gangsters walk, pimps gon' talk, ooh, hecky no, that boy is raw. I'ma get on this TV.
So we start with the chorus, alpha step, omega step, kappa step, sigma step. You are probably aware at this point that these refer to fraternities and mostly the National Panhellenic Council fraternities or the Divine Nine. So that's what he is referring to with Alpha, Omega, Kappa, Sigma, aka Delta, SG Rho, and Zeta.
Which is pointed that he's talking specifically about black fraternities, but I'm guessing we'll get into more of what that means in verse one.
Yeah, a bit. There's definitely an element of black culture that's an important part of the song. And it's cropped up at times on the album throughout, but I don't think up to this point a defining element of the album or of a song.
I think I would more say that it hasn't been announced so brazenly before this.
Yeah.
Because I think a big part of the album is steeped in black culture and the pressure black youth feels and how they feel outside of so many things, outside of society. They don't have a place. And I think a lot of what Kanye talks about gets at that, just like it gets at anybody who feels like they're not destined or that they shouldn't follow some sort of predestined path or that they're not inspired to live the life they want to live. Like, I think this is just a case here where Kanye's really bringing it up front.
Yeah, right. Because we don't care. Like, Kanye, the situation Kanye's painting is very much from his perspective as a black youth in Chicago that grew up in this situation and what he was seeing over that time. But I guess the soundscapes and a lot of the refrains haven't been as you said, pronounced and outright hearkening to this kind of black culture in the way that this song is.
Yeah. And I think more important, at least in the chorus anyway, you know, he says Alpha Step, Omega Step, and then he says gangsters walk, pimps gun talk. And I think more probably what's happening here is Connie's just pointing out how he doesn't fit in all of these demographics. Like, he doesn't go to school, so he's not part of the fraternities. He's not a gangster. You know, he killed gangster rap. He's not a pimp. He doesn't really act that way. Like, he's his own kind of rapper. So the next line is, ooh, heck, you know, that boy is raw. Like, I don't have to be any of these for people to notice how great I am.
Yeah, and that division or separation that he brings up here, like, I'm not part of those fraternities. I'm not part of these groups that are typically associated with rap. Like, I am my own person. It pays off on a lot of the attitude and individuality that he had talked about up to this point that we saw kind of leave him at points in the last four songs.
Mm-hmm.
So he's reestablishing the fact that he is his own unique person and he has a different path than everybody else.
That's what we call a transition.
Oh, man. Oh, man. And when we start the first verse, what's interesting, I mean, we tend to have the perspective that, especially in College Dropout, when Kanye references or pulls lyrics from mixtape songs, that it's just because he really liked the mixtape song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to use that verse again. And because he had it had an album out, you can. I feel like a lot of artists do that. They take some of their best lines and put them on their first albums. So he had a song called Gossip Files, and it talked about the city was gossiping and that everybody's gossiping about him. Push it down. I ain't finna let these light-skinned niggas come back and stab. I'm finna turn this class clown shit to crazy D. They told my mama I was bipolar, had ADD. I told them what I wanna do. I wanna be a baller. The dream spoilers are for you. Hating on your titties. And he goes into this idea of who the dream spoilers are, and that they're a virus that corrupts the soul. They're cubic zirconia inside the 10-karat gold. And he really spends a lot of time taking shots at them. And I'm through spitting these rappers my most heartfelt flow, cause they be like, that's cool, you got some beats for me though. Oh, I get it, you wanna be Snoop and Dr. Dre, but don't nobody give a fuck what you got to say. Anyway, what you finna rap about? You never sold crack out your house or put a gat to a mouth or put your fist to your spouse. So how you gonna move the crowd? I bet 1,000 that you get booed out. I even heard that they even taking ways in jail. They bet 10 boxes of cigarettes that I'm finna fail. Second you talk about peace, they gonna be like peace. This nigga came from the shy, moved to the east. You gotta kill at least one person at least, or we'll evict you from the rap game, cancel your lease. How you go to New York, but you ain't never took a tour there? But you ain't know you gotta be rich just to be poor there. The dream God just loves the end and runs the city. They don't know. So we see in that song that Kanye was very concerned about these established rappers that think you have to be a certain way, and that they were going to tell him, you can't be part of this because you haven't done what we've done. You haven't grown up the way that we've grown up. You're not us. You're not the gangster. You're not the pimp. Like, get out of here. And we also know that he views school as kind of a place you go to have your dreams killed. That's been made very apparent on this album. So I feel like while a lot of the content of Gossip Files doesn't translate into school spirit, by him pulling from that verse, and how he structured this song into the album and how the album's just structured in general. And we know it builds up to Kanye finally having the success and this breakthrough on Last Call and just talking about it. I think that that song ends up being very important for understanding what Kanye's mindset was about his place in the industry and where a song like School Spirit could have blossomed from.
Yeah, and it's just another case. We saw it on Breathe and Breathe Out, where Kanye took some lines from an unreleased song and kind of expanded on it in a different way. It makes sense that Kanye just heads down a different path with this, you know, the specific lyrics and school spirit. He really wants to go after that school angle and really get more at the metaphor than I think Gossip Files, which is very explicit and is like, they wanted me to be a gangster. They said I had to kill somebody. Like, he's being very clear about the pressures he felt, to where I think on school spirit, it's just, all right, I'm going to wrap it up in this whole school metaphor and all that.
Yep. And he gets that same concept that took him a verse to lay out, which was very well laid out.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets that comparison, gangsters walk, pimps get to talk. Oh, heck, you know, that boy is raw.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. In a way, it's almost not saying it's better, but it just fits with the album and is at least a little more efficient. You know, he, like you said, he's expressing all of that with kind of a catchy chorus.
I'ma get on this TV, mama. I'ma put this down. I'ma make sure these light-skinned niggas never, ever, never come back in style. Told them I finished school and I started my own business. They say, oh, you graduated. No, I decided I was finished. Chasing y'all dreams and what you got planned. Now I spit it so hot, you got tan. Back to school and I hate it there, I hate it there. Everything I want, I gotta wait a year, I wait a year. This nigga graduated at the top of our class. I went to cheesecake, he was off of them. Can wait it there, Alpha Step, Omega.
We start the same way as on Gossip Files. I'ma get on this TV, mama. I'ma put shit down. And there's a little bit of a refinement. He changes the language and shortens the lines just a bit. And then with the next lines, I'ma make sure these light-skinned guys never, ever, never come back in style. We actually reached out to Dr. Jeffrey McCune, who you may remember from his story on the podcast back in 2017, but also as the professor at Washington University who taught the class in 2017 and then is teaching it again now in 2019 on Kanye West and really focusing like a whole class on Kanye West, which is pretty awesome. So we reached out to him to give some perspective on this line that we otherwise wouldn't have.
There's been a historical tension between darker skin and lighter skin, black folk, and an idea that the lighter, the brighter, the better, was a part of the history of slavery in this country, right? The idea that the lighter meant that there was probably some type of intermixing that happened historically that would make one more beautiful, more intelligent, etc. And what has happened is because of black consciousness of these kinds of arbitrary markers, people have kind of resisted and in some ways resisted through taking up what they might say, chocolate brothers, right? And so in this moment, right, Kanye, as a chocolate brother, tries to say that, you know, light-skinned brothers are going to stay out of style and that he's going to keep them out of style by showing that not only can chocolate brothers be genius and be great and be creative, but they can actually surpass what might now be understood as the Drake success, right? And so in some ways, right, before Drake was even Drake, right, Kanye anticipated, you know, America's fascination with Chris Brown's and Drake's lighter skin, black men, and the kinds of privilege that come with skin and complexion, right? And so this is what we call colorism. And so Kanye's trying to kind of disrupt this colorism and say that, you know, he's going to put an end to this kind of reverence for the light skinned. Very interesting moment in the piece, and it shows you not only that Kanye is ensconced in kind of black cultural mythologies, but also that he's also at that moment still interested in disrupting what we think we know about skin color and skin relations, and so he exposes a very real tension in the Black community around color of skin that is rooted in a history of white people kind of privileging, right, the lighter skinned Black folks over the darker skinned Black folks. It's a rich text, but yet at the same time, it's also a comedic text because everyone is aware of this historic tension. And there have been like campaigns, right, to get, you know, dark skinned brothers to come back in style, chocolate brothers to come back in style. And then there's the kind of battle that's back, like, oh, the light-skinned brothers are back, right? And so there's a comedic tension as well, and not just one that is all about, right, these kind of historic race conditions. And so Kanye's using, you know, hip-hop as a place to kind of play that tension out, to laugh about it, but also to kind of assert himself as a chocolate brother into the history of what I would call Black genius.
Yeah, and I think what he's really getting at is, again, a lot of what we've talked about, like really feeling outside of a system and like you don't belong. And this really, you know, I think this mentality really speaks to Kanye, like only light-skinned guys can make it. You know, those are the people that anybody's going to listen to. And when Kanye's told he can't do something, his natural reaction is to tear it apart and to like defy all expectations and show that people that you can do anything.
And that that specificity also plays into the fact that the chorus is so steeped in Black college culture. Mm. Having something that's so like specifically about his success related to Black culture in a song that has a chorus and this concept that's so steeped in Black culture lines up really well.
Yeah.
So we then get him continuing on with, told him I finished school and I started my own business. They say, oh, you graduated? No, I decided I was finished. So this line, no, I decided I was finished, has a, it acts as a fulcrum point or a midpoint. So you can read it as, they say you graduated. No, I decided I was finished. And it's just ends there. But you can read it as continuing on as, no, I decided I was finished chasing y'all dreams and what you've got planned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm no longer following what you want from me or what you are using me for. Now I spit it so hot, you got tanned. Like, I'm going to rap the way I want to rap.
Yeah, that seems to flow really well because you go from, I decided I was finished something in the past, and then now I spit it. Like, it really does feel like those lines are connected.
And then that plays back into what we saw on Gossip Files as well. Just this idea of, like, you're all dream killers. But this time period after Kanye wrote Gossip Files, it's no longer stressing about the dream killers in that way. It's just telling them, like, no, fuck off. Like, I'm doing my own thing and more focused on the future and what you're going to do.
Yeah.
But then we get this next line that comes up, which always threw us for a loop. And I think we had really gone in on it the previous time we covered School Spirit. Because he had just said, like, no, I decided I was finished. And, like, now I spit it so hot. It really feels like the separation from school. And then he says, back to school, and I hate it there, I hate it there. So if he dropped out, why is he back to school? Everything I want, I gotta wait a year, I wait a year.
But then the next line is, this guy graduated at the top of our class. So this is more of a case of the transition isn't super clean, or it's not super clear what each line is speaking to. You know, just like the chasing y'all dreams, like it's not clear that's connected to I decided I was finished. I think we can read these two lines about going back to school as, you know, this guy that graduated at the top of the class, like what he went through or what people go through when they're back at school, and how even though they hate it there, that they have to wait a year, they still go through all those motions because that's what you're supposed to do. And where does it get you? You're just a fucking waiter at Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah. Good job. Good job. And I feel like you could almost read it too as, this could be Kanye's way of pointing out what happened to him leading up to this song. Like, he did decide he was finished and he started spitting it hot, which is what we saw on Jesus Walks and Never Let Me Down, getting into him trying to make his rap career work. And that was like going back to school, and he hated it there, and everything he wanted to do, he had to wait. And now the waiting's done. He's reestablishing the fact that, like, yeah, I'm bringing back my school spirit. And my school spirit's like, fuck school. So you have a nice open reading of this end where you can kind of apply it in various ways.
Yeah.
I went to Cheesecake. I like how he doesn't have to say factory. It's just like, I went to Cheesecake.
You ever been to Cheesecake Factory?
Yeah. I went there for my 22nd birthday.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Yeah. I have a weird history of Cheesecake Factory because I went there at a time when I was like trying to lose a bunch of weight. I did lose a bunch of weight, but I was like super concerned of everything I ate and I had to look up the nutrition to everything. And I went to Cheesecake Factory and I went online to find it and I couldn't find it anywhere. Like, and I could find any food from any restaurant. Like, I never had a problem. And I actually like started researching it and it was like something people had written about online. Like, you can't find the Cheesecake Factory's nutrition facts. And it was because, I don't know what it was, like, because they were headquartered somewhere where you weren't required to release your nutrition facts. You didn't have to. But then it became like a law that everybody had to. And eventually they got released. And I remember finding it and like going back and reading like all the shit I ate there and like how terrible it was for you. And that was why they didn't release their nutrition facts, because Cheesecake Factory, it turned out, was like, it was like the worst of like every restaurant. Their foods are just obnoxiously unhealthy for you.
It makes sense because their menu was like 75 pages. Yeah. So they had to have so many things. And to avoid so many things going bad, you really have to steep up the salt and the preservatives and all the stuff. I'm sure like a salad there was 2,000 calories.
I just thought that was the craziest thing.
Yeah. And here you are just having an identity crisis trying to find some some caloric info.
I'm going to make a movie out of this.
Please do.
I find it captivating.
Make it like Spotlight, win an Oscar.
There we go.
Or The Post.
Or like The Chef. Or Chef.
Chef. Chef was great.
I've never seen it, but I assume this movie would be a lot like it.
I hope so. Mm. If you can make a movie half as good as Chef.
It'll be Chef, Julia, and Spotlight.
With a little Ratatouille thrown in?
Yeah, there'll be an animated sequence.
Good. Hopefully a dance number.
Yeah, probably. I assume Stomp the Yard will have some influence on this movie.
Beautiful. You just get the entire cast of Stomp the Yard?
Yeah, sure.
I think we're on to something.
All right. Again, I'm going to cut this all out of the podcast.
Okay. Well, so we end the first verse. We get the chorus coming back in. And, you know, when you get this guy graduated at the top of our class and I went to Cheesecake Factory as a motherfucker fucking waiter there, the chorus coming back in with, like, the fraternity steps feels much less like, yeah. It puts into context how those steps are very different from the steps that Kanye will take.
Yeah, it starts to feel like instead of a step being like an exciting dance number, like you're just going through the steps because this is the routine.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mildwürzig, je 150 Gramm Packung nur 3,49 €. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 €. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
Like Nora for your Sora, bring Mora, them girls I seen in the Aurora, Tammy, Becky, and Laura, Aura, Shirley, I'm trying to hit it early, like I'm in a hurry, see that's that Doobie Kane, the young Pootie Tang, Tippy Tow, Rockefeller chain, yeah, that's my rapper style, Rosary piece, yeah, that's my Catholic style, red and white ones, yeah, that's my Kappa style, and I ain't even pledged, crack my head on the steering wheel, and I ain't even dead, if I can go through all that and still be breathing, it's been over. I'm here for a reason. Alpha step, omega step.
So we start the second verse with, I got a Jones like Nora for your soror. Oh, God. So this kind of blew our minds a little bit because I had heard like I'm jonesing for some like food or snacks or like sex, anything like that.
Now we're talking.
I didn't know that it literally like was used as a term for a crush or like sexual desire for someone.
Yeah.
So I always thought Kanye was just forcing the Norah Jones line for reasons that I didn't know. But it turns out, no, the word Jones is very legitimate and Norah was just thrown in. And then your soror is actually the word, like the shortened phrase for sorority, which I never knew. I went from 4 years of college being in a fraternity and never heard anybody use the word soror.
Yeah.
But him saying that he essentially is sexually attracted to sororities. Bring more of them girls I've seen in the Aurora. With the Aurora was like the official sorority magazine, which funny, Genius has a picture of an issue that features
Kelly Price,
an issue that features Kelly Price. And you may remember Kelly Price as being on Ultra Light Beam. Depression, not blessings. Why, oh, why'd you do me wrong? You persecute the weak because it makes you feel so strong. So just kind of a cool connection there.
Yeah, kind of crazy, actually. Like, that feels, like, prescient. He's like, it was destined that she would be on Ultralight Beam.
Right. Like, how many girls have... There have been that many on the cover of the Aurora. One happened to go on and be a gospel singer that Kanye would use.
Yeah, and on the cover of the magazine, it says Soror Kelly Price.
Yeah, even weirder.
I don't like that.
Even weirder.
That's weird.
So he then named some names, Tammy, Becky, and Laura, or a Shirley. I'm trying to hit it early, like I'm in a hurry. I don't know if we have anything to yeah, add there.
Self-explanatory line.
Yeah, I mean, and he says, see, that's how dude became the young Pootie Tang. Tippy Tow. So Pootie Tang was a movie that was written by the late Louis C.K.
Before his career was killed.
Yeah, and Pootie Tang is a bit sex crazed, right?
Sure, I will never watch it, but yeah, I can only assume.
I mean, I think that's how you get the name Pootie Tang.
Yeah, you would think so.
And then he would say random ass things like Tippy Tow or Tippy Toe or whatever it's supposed to be in the movie, but that Kanye says is Tippy Tow.
Pootie Tang was born in a small town outside of Gary, Indiana. And that town was called Chicago. As he grew, everyone noticed something different about the way Pootie would talk. It baffled everyone. Doctors, scientists, let me break it down to you like this. Pootie Tang is, was, and will always be too cool for words.
So he's just kind of saying that trying to hit it early like he's in a hurry is how he became the young Pootie Tang. And what he got from that is his Rockefeller chain. And with his Rockefeller chain, that's his rapper style. And this is where the chorus kind of starts to play into it, because we've gotten what the fraternities do, what the gangsters and pimps do. And with Kanye, it was just us being told that he's raw. But here he's laying out that he has a rapper style, he's got a Catholic style, and his red and white Jordan 1s, which are very iconic, he compares that to his Kappa style, and Kappa's colors are crimson and cream. So it's this fact that he has the look of a Kappa without even pledging. And that plays into his fashion and his attitude and his spirit and his energy. But we see that it's not just I'm a rapper. It's not just I'm a Catholic. It's not just that I'm fashionable and have this. It's more than that. And beyond that, he cracked his head on a steering wheel and isn't even dead. If I could go through all that and still be breathing, I'm here for a reason.
Yeah. This part of the song screams to me like this is finally, to me, kind of a turning point in the album. And what I thought was largely missing from Breathe and Breathe Out, where it just felt like another ironic song where Kanye was just like slamming you over the head with like, this is how rappers are supposed to be, like making bullshit ice rap, right, guys? Like, this is ridiculous. And to the point where it was like, okay, we get it's ridiculous. It didn't feel like there was any catharsis or insight being created. Whereas here, I think you finally get that transition where it almost makes me think like Breathe In, Breathe Out and School Spirit. If they came together, they could have formed something beautiful. Kind of goes from Pootie Tang to showing the world like my Rockefeller chain, like that's my rapper style. Like this is my Catholic style. Like this is all the parts of me. I'm not just one thing. Like I'm a holistic individual and I have many influences and I don't follow a predestined path. And I really love that attitude finally coming through. You know, it's so fulfilling after four songs in the album where Kanye really feels lost and is making the music he doesn't really want to make. This sounds like a pronouncement of what he finally wants to do.
And it reminds me again of Gossip Files, where in that last verse, he's asked by these other rappers, what are you going to rap about? You haven't done this, you haven't done that, you haven't done this, you haven't done that. And here, even though he abandoned that song and doesn't have that verse, it almost feels like he finally got the answer to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is who I am. Like, I'm the young Pootie Tang. I have a Rockefeller chain. I got a rosary piece. I got my Jordan 1s. Like, I cracked my head on a steering wheel and I ain't dead. Like, shut the fuck up and let me do my thing.
Yeah. Just still need to talk about that bitch bend over line, though.
Yeah.
Or maybe not talk about it because it's so upsetting.
Well, I think it plays into what we talked about earlier, that Kanye often... I'm guessing because he's so inspired by Common, and Common had the song I Used to Love Her, which we saw mm-hmm. and talked about in like great detail on our Homecoming episode,
mm-hmm.
that Kanye essentially made Homecoming or made Graduation an extended version of her. But her in this case is Kanye, and he's the one that had this relationship with Chicago and left and has changed. And Chicago's looking at him the way that Common looks at the rap game. And it's just like, what have people done to you? Like, I still love you, but like, you're not the person that you used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Kanye having that concept of rap being anthropomorphized
yeah.
into a woman by Common, that's something that he did a lot of and continued to do for most of his career.
Mm-hmm.
To where a lot of the time he talks about these relationships, it has that additional meaning to it. So when you hear him saying, I'm trying to hit it early, like I'm in a hurry, and that's how I became the young Pootie Tang, we know that so much of this album is Kanye establishing the mythology of how he came into the music industry, which is why Last Call is the song that it is. And he rose up through the ranks because, you know, he was making these hit songs. And he was making these beats that everybody loved, everybody wanted, even though he wasn't allowed to rap. And that's how he became the young Pootie Tang. So I think you can see a similarity between how he's talking about women here and how he was talking about making music and the success that he had early on. So when he says, bitch, bend over at the end of the line, there's, of course, that sexual bravado and confidence and ego and misogyny that's tied to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also tied to what he's going to do as a musician in the rap game.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. And I guess there's totally something powerful and meaningful to that. It's probably more for me just the crudeness of it. And like
yeah, right.
everything you just said, like that metaphor could probably be found in a less crude way. That this feels like overtly aggressive and immature in a way that I guess doesn't quite make sense to me at this part of the album where I feel like Kanye is making the transition and stepping out of that breathe in, breathe out behavior. It feels like such a strange line to come at the end of, you know, this culmination, this turning point for Kanye where it feels like he's changed.
Yeah, I think the simplest answer is probably, and I agree very much with what you said, like as much as I just laid out how it works and the artistic yeah. elements to it, there's other ways to go about that that's less misogynistic and like sexualized like yeah. that. But I also think you can look at it as a remnant of where rap and hip hop were at in 2004 when this came out.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that as progressive as Kanye is in a lot of his lyrics, there's still an element of what hip hop was that seeps in at times. And this is one of those things. So maybe we get him on the show and he explains himself and we're just like, oh.
We only brought you on the show so you could explain your behavior.
Kanye. Oh, and the I'm here for a reason and still breathing. almost forgot about this. Good thing I have a billion tabs open. So this actually gets to a song that you may have heard of, a little ditty known as Many Men by 50 Cent.
Many men, many, 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 many men wish death upon me, Lord, I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me, have mercy on my soul. Somewhere my heart turned cold. Have mercy on many men, many, 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 many men.
Which one of the most terrifying things of 2019 so far was Tom Brady preparing for the Super Bowl, and he just had a video of himself listening to Many Men.
Really?
Yeah. And you're just like, oh no, this guy's not losing this game. Like, such an intimidating song. But it's Fitty looking back on the fact that he was shot 9 times. And how nobody's going to stop him. There's a bit of a similarity and a difference where 50 Cent, through his near-death experience, has this hardening of his heart and kind of doesn't look to the sky anymore. And there's this coldness that enters into everything. We know that Kanye's near-death experience led him to Never Let Me Down and this connection to God and this sense that he's here for a reason, which is teased on Never Let Me Down. It's brought up again on School Spirit, and it's finally amplified and talked about in detail on Through the Wire. And Through the Wire has such similar yet opposite energy to what 50 does here. And that 50 very much has that sense of the gangster and the unstoppable guy in this classic hip-hop image, where Kanye has that updated image. But at the end of Many Men, you get...
In the Bible it says, what goes around comes around. Homo shot me 3 weeks later, he got shot down. Now it's clear that I'm here for a real reason. Cause he got hit like I got hit, but he ain't fucking breathing. Many men...
So you have Kanye just invert that. You have breathing come first. If I could go through all that and still be breathing, like, bitch, bend over, I'm here for a reason. So there's a singularity to it that's also very Kanye. Like, this is what happened to me. It doesn't matter what happened to anybody else. But also just a nice comparison and contrast to what 50 did with Many Men.
I feel a woo coming on, cuz. I feel a woo coming on, cuz. There was. I feel some woos coming on, cuz. A couple woos coming on, cuz. There they was. I feel a woo coming on, cuz. I feel a woo coming on, cuz. There was. A couple woos coming on, cuz. A couple woos coming on, cuz. There they was.
Then we get the outro, which it fits in a way with a song called School Spirit that references fraternities, because I feel a woo coming on, cuz feels very fraternal, and there does tend to be chanting, and Genius makes mention of the fact that the Omega Psi Phi brothers apparently yell woo on the reg is how they describe it. Though Uncle LP marked that as a stretch and said that they say rue with an R, not woo.
We should have a podcast where we just read through the Genius annotations and all the arguments going on.
Right? How amazing would that be?
It'd be captivating.
Oh, it would be so good. The next one's by A Bathing Fantasy.
Oh. Color me interested.
And they say, I thought Kanye meant, I feel the woo coming on, like Wu-Tang. And there's a few people that have mentioned Wu-Tang in relation to this. While that could be argued, this is actually a line or something that has been repeated by songs since 1994. There was a 69 Boys song called Tootsie Roll, which, what you explained to me, was more of a dance track.
You don't know Tootsie Roll?
I maybe know it if I played it.
Yeah, you would. I remember it playing at the roller rink when I was a kid.
All right, I probably heard it. And then in 1996, you had Monica release a song with Mr. Malik, and that was Like This and Like That. And then you have one more version of this, and that's from Corrupt on the song This One's For You, which came out in 1998. I feel a woo coming on, cuh. 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 There I was when I talk about history, a psychology, a biology. We talk about DPology, geology, a G's analogy. G's in rare form, C's in rare form. I got vision, ammunition loaded, prepare storms. Stack up the cutlass like buzz. So he takes it and applies a school concept to it because it harkens back to the fraternal chants, which is why we then get the classes that he brings up. So Kanye, I mean, could have none of those in mind or one specific one in mind when he takes it, but it's funny to me that this is a verse that's been used on three different styles of song. And we just saw Kanye on the songs leading up to School Spirit make a dance song, make another slower dance song that's more R&B, and then make more of a bullshit ice rap song. And then he has this outro that was used on a dance song, on an R&B song, and on more of a traditional, for the time, rap song.
Yeah, and I mean, going beyond, you know, genre, and trying to connect it to Kanye in that way, just what Wu represents in hip-hop and R&B in general, and how it's always been used as sort of a proclamation or an announcement of ego, like this announcement that you're here to do something and you want people to join in and chant with you. I mean, there's so much power to that. I love the ending of this, and it really does feel like a moment where Kanye's ready to move past this mentality that you have to go to school and you have to follow this certain path. He's just ready to paint his own path.
Yeah, that sense that he's doing this in his own way. He's taking something that's known but putting his spin on it, to me, is very relevant and important. And just what you're talking about with this connection to, I don't know, the history of it and the history of rap. When we talk about Kanye and Aretha Franklin in The Spirit in the Dark, it really does feel with this outro that he's connected to something that's energizing him. Especially as we just finish the verse where he declares what his style is and what his energy is.
Yeah. And I mean, especially somebody who isn't just looking to make music, is looking to make music that inspires people. You know, and Get Him High, he's looking to get people's hands in the air. He wants to get people high. He wants to make music that makes a difference. You know, that's why Breathe In, Breathe Out has that connection to respiration. You're making music that does something more. And again, it's very cathartic and fulfilling to have all these people join in and saying, woo, woo. It's kind of beautiful because he spends the choruses talking about all these frats and the gangsters and the pimps, like all these people he's not a part of. Like, this really transcends all of that, to hear everybody chanting woo with you. You finally found your audience, or you've broken through these individuals that you didn't think you could ever capture, that went to school, that followed a different path. Like, you're inspiring everybody.
This might be a reach, but how you just described Get Them High and Breathe In, Breathe Out, it made me think about the fact that such a focus of Get Them High is weed and like passing weed. And then Breathe In, Breathe Out deals with respiration, air intake. Part of smoking weed is breathing in and breathing out. In respiration, it says breathe out, weed smoke, retrace the skyline. I feel like that's too far to look at connections, or too detailed to look at connections. But it's interesting that that chapter starts with talking about smoking weed and ends with this idea of respiration.
As everybody on Twitter knows, we're here to make reaches.
It's always the thing that bothers me the most.
Reach of the year. Remember when the guy said that?
Yeah, reach it's of not the year. A reach if it's based on like...
Chris, don't do this now.
Okay.
I feel like if you ever write a biography or a memoir, it'll be called Reach of the Year.
I kind of like that. I like that a lot. So we end the song in that way, and that leads into School Spirit Skit 2. In the
dark. You keep it going, man. You keep those books rolling. You pick up all those books that you're going to read and not remember, and you roll, man. You get that associate's degree, okay? Then you get your bachelor's. Then you get your master's. Then you get your master's master's. Then you get your doctorate. You go, man. And then when everybody says quit, you show them those degrees, man. When everyone says, hey, you're not working, you're not making any money, you say, you look at my degrees and you look at my life. Yeah, I'm 52. So what? Hate all you want, but I'm smart. I'm so smart. And I'm in school. These guys are out here making money all these ways, and I'm spending mine to be smart. You know why? Because when I die, buddy, you know what's going to keep me warm? That's right, those degrees.
And not much has changed between skit one and skit two.
Yeah, I would say actually that's kind of that's the note I would make if Kanye had me on his crew back then. It's like, you know, these two skits kind of just say the same thing, right?
Yeah, and I get that you can't necessarily have them back to back, because then it's just, why not make it one long thing? So you want to break it up. So maybe it just bookends to show like how different Kanye stands out from it.
It really just makes you wish it had gone from the skit to School Spirit to Lil Jimmy, because I actually think Lil Jimmy at least presents a new idea, because, you know, you have this kid that is now following in his father's steed from the skits, and it kind of announces the importance of what Kanye's doing, because he's inspiring a generation of kids and his own kids to not feel obligated to follow a certain path like this kid is doing. Like, if Kanye can break through and inspire people, we'll avoid more Lil Jimmys.
Hey, Jimmy, where you going?
I don't know where I'm going. My dad died, and he left me his degrees. My mom would always say, Dad, why don't you work? But he just kept learning. All the other kids' parents were working and saving up money for school, and I was actually in school all while my dad was in school. He was so greedy with degrees, he took my degree. And now, I'm just glad he left me these, because all the regular homeless people have newspaper, and look what I have. These are documented. My father left them to me, and I'm gonna leave them to my kids. I'm gonna learn too. I'm gonna get super smart, so I too can die without money, but I'll be the smartest dead guy. Who has that?
And there's something, I guess, to say that this first skit ends with the guy finishing school and looking at what he's going to do next. And skit two looks at where he ends up. You look at my degrees and you look at my life. Yeah, I'm 52. So what? And we get him saying, like, because when I die, you know what's going to keep me warm? That's right, those degrees. Mm-hmm. And then you get Little Jimmy, if you view Little Jimmy as the son of this guy from the first two skits, being like, yeah, my dad died and all I got are these degrees. So you kind of see the start of the life, the end of the life, and then the legacy, which, if Kanye is concerned with his musical career, you can see him kind of looking at the ghost of Christmas Present and the ghost of Christmas Future in that way of, okay, this is what I'm dealing with right now, and this is the person that I am when I make music like this. And if I keep doing this, I'm going to end up like this person, and then my kid's going to be like this. So I need to knock that off.
And this whole time the Little Jimmy sketch is going, you hear the School Spirit sample in the background, the humming, and it almost feels like a spirit in the back of the song. Like, it's almost kind of stylistic way of showing, like, this is why I do this, because kids out there feel the need to act this way, and I'll show them that you can do anything.
Like, you can be not Jimmy.
You could be Kanye West.
Yeah.
Again, it feels very powerful. You know, Kanye's dreams extend beyond himself. You know, as somebody who has labeled himself a futurist and thinks generations ahead, you know, that's the way he thinks of his career and his artistic output. Like, I'll be inspiring people years from now. And to hear that sentiment so early in his career, like, shit, man, that guy was on that level way back then.
And it does do this great leveling the playing field. Like, it's not that if you go to school, you're successful, and if you don't go to school because you don't have that opportunity, like we see the kids and we don't care, a lot of them don't have the opportunity, you're not doomed. Kanye's mm-hmm. success and his ability to rise up out of this with having had the option of school and dropping out, it just kind of shows that it's not the path, it's you. Right. And whether you go to school and make of it what you will, whether you don't go to school and do what you do, like, you're the key factor there. Because, you know, look at these people that went to school and are in these, like, their own kind of shitty situation, like the people that didn't have the opportunity to go to school. It's one of the great things about All Falls Down as well. It puts the people that can afford things on the same emotional and self-conscious and self-esteem wounded playing field as the people that can't afford those things.
Yeah, I think that's a really important insight I gained from School Spirit, is that it continues a lot of what's talked about in the first three tracks. Like, you would even argue that Jesus Walks and Never Let Me Down are on that humbled, down-earth level where Kanye feels like he's in the shit with everybody. Like, those two songs are Kanye's pronouncement and him declaring to the world, like, I can rise above all of this and be who I always wanted to be. These songs feel like they, like, School Spirit finally feels like it's getting back down to earth and in the mix of everybody that feels, you know, taken in by consumerism and feels like they're stuck in a dead-end job. This song's really for those people.
And I expect that when we look at two words, Through the Wire and Family Business, those are kind of mm-hmm. going to be what we find, is that those songs in their way connect back to the first three or four songs in a way that we don't in the middle of the album, because that's the point. Like, this is the environment that got Kanye to be Kanye. And then the music industry started to take that away from him. And now he's getting back to talking about the things that made him yay and that led to his success. And yeah, that's what makes all the difference.
Yeah, totally.
Like, with all this in mind, it makes sense why Family Business is kind of like the penultimate song. Like, I know Last Call is the final song, but Last Call almost feels like an epilogue.
Mm-hmm.
Where Family Business, it kind of builds to that as like the full song that closes yeah. out the album.
Yeah, that's why so many people connect to the song.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think we fucking did it.
I think so. That is your most comprehensive overview and explanation of School Spirit that you will find.
Much better than the last one we did.
Oh my God, yeah.
I actually like this song now.
Yeah. Oh, we don't have to have it on a separate list.
There's not a single bad Kanye song, even though we spent the last episode bashing Breathe In, Breathe Out.
I still have mad respect for Breathe In, Breathe Out.
I do too, yeah. Just for the respiration connection alone.
Yeah, now we just have to go back and maybe discover something about Celebration.
Yeah, we'll see.
I guess that's it. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, so next episode is Facts.
Oh, back to The Life of Pablo.
Yeah, the Charlie Heat version.
Nice. I'm excited.
And Jordan might be on that episode. Don't get your hopes up too much, but I know originally he wanted to be, so we'll see if that happens.
We never know with that man.
He's an enigma.
Yeah, wrapped inside of a paradox. But until the Facts episode, keep it wavy.
And loopy.
Tell them, raise your glasses, your glasses, your glasses to the sky. This is the last call.